Again, Lord God, we humble ourselves before you. And we recognize, Lord God, that you are the everlasting God. And your word, Lord God, is everlasting because you are indeed the God from eternity. That you are the all-sufficient one. And that your word, even at the time, Lord God, of Moses, will stand even in our time. You don't need, Lord God, to dress up your word. You don't need, Lord God, to add up something to your truth. And we have no business, Lord God, to diminish or remove, Lord God, anything from your word. Because your word is indeed everlasting. They are our bread. It nourishes us. It teaches us. It rebukes us. It admonishes. And it trains us to godly living, so that guiding light, so that man and woman of God will be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so, Father, we thank you that every Sunday we open your word and we open up treasures from heaven. We open up valuable lessons, Lord God, that we can derive, that we can learn, so that we will be guided. We will be led, and ultimately, Lord God, we will be awed by your majesty, by the magnificence, Lord God, of your supremacy. Thank you, Lord. Please guide us now, O Holy Spirit. Rebuke us, instruct us, and love us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. The title of this message is Tradition or Transformation. Tradition or Transformation. Or put it in this way, Religion or Regeneration. First of all, brethren, I would like to thank our elders who allowed me to share with this pulpit today. It is a great blessing to minister to you, our dear brethren. And in behalf of our church in San Carlos, they send their heartfelt appreciation and gratefulness to you as you continue to encourage us, not only in terms of provision, but also in prayer. You know, brethren, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. We are now entering into our second year. Magdadalawang taon na po kami. Actually po, to be exact, we are already 22 months old. 22 months old po. And we could say, brethren, that the ministry in San Carlos is a tremendous blessing. And also, it is a great challenge. It is a blessing because individuals are hearing the gospel and some respond in faith and repentance. Now, we are eyewitnesses of the Lord's manifold grace and mercy to the life of unfaithful men and women when they submitted their lives to Christ as their only Lord and Savior. And also, honestly, I would like to become, candid to you. Honestly, it is also a challenge because gospel ministry breaks evil kingdom. Gospel ministry breaks that kingdom. Satan and the world will not hop with you. He will not go along with you, and he will not clap his hands doing good and godly thing over these sinful people. This gospel ministry penetrates the dark and sinful world of individuals. And so many spiritual barriers, sa totoo lang. There are a lot of hindrances. And one of them that deeply influenced these individuals to hang on with their spiritual blindness is what we call tradition. Tradition. People are powerfully enslaved with these man-made, syncretic, dominating regulations. And it breaks our hearts, sa totoo lang. We have this experience in San Carlos recently, sa church po namin sa San Carlos, from one of the original home Bible studies. If you are into church planting, you have to strengthen the home Bible studies because from the home Bible studies, then you will have the church. Kapag ultimately they will decide, okay, sige, pastor, gawa na tayo, mag-gather na tayo on Sunday. So from different home Bible studies, doon nanggagaling po yung church. And so from the original home Bible studies, a wife said to me, that they will no longer attend our church worship service because her husband wanted to go back to being Catholic. Sa kanya pong salita mismo, sabi niya, nagbalik loob na po siya, doon na lang po kami. And brethren, it breaks my heart, it breaks our hearts to hear these words. Despite numerous times of declaring to them the uniqueness and the supremacy of Christ with many lessons from the Word of God, they would still hold on to that false religion. So much patience, so much prayer, so much proclamation of the word, patience, prayer, proclamation. That's our ministry. Yun ang activities po natin, and yet they will still hold on to that false religion. No matter what you will say, that Catholic is different from Catholicism here in the Philippines, they're still the same. Catholics are still Catholics. And so, brethren, to instruct us today with the Word of God, I would like to share to you one of the messages we studied in our series in San Carlos Outreach. Now, as many of you are aware, some who had visited us, some of you, no, we are studying the Gospel of Mark in our church. We have a series in San Carlos. We have started that last year, and that series is based on the Gospel of Mark. And I would like to share the story how Jesus confronted his enemies, how he approached the prevailing traditions of his day to both instruct his disciples at that time and even to teach us today. So isa lang pong kwento na titignan po natin ngayong umaga so that we will be instructed on how Jesus confronted his enemies, at the same time also how he approached the traditions, the prevailing traditions of his day. So open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 7, verse 1 until verse 22. Medyo mahaba po ito, but hopefully we'll be able to finish by 11:30. Tama ho ba? I know, 11 o'clock lang daw. Yan. Okay, by 11 o'clock. No. And so, by going to the Gospel of Mark, you know, brethren, Mark included this story, I believe, to present to us that Christ is the Son of God. Okay? The whole theme of Mark is basically found in the starting verse of this Gospel, in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And so basically, that is the main theme of the whole gospel, of this whole narrative. The Gospel of Mark will tell us that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. And from that point on, in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, from that point on, Mark has put specific stories and teachings of Christ to prove his identity as the Christ, being the awaited Messiah of Israel. And the climax of that theme finds its peak, okay, in Mark chapter 15, verse 39, when a centurion declared, "This man indeed," that is Jesus, "truly was the Son of God." And that is the climax. Yun ang pinakasukdulan ho ng pong affirmation na ito na sinasabi ni Mark. And so the whole theme of this gospel is to lay before us that this Jesus is indeed the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the awaited Messiah of all nations. And our passage today confirms this theme. The Bible verses that we are about to read confirms or affirms this recurring theme. And so let us now look at the passage and let us see how Mark fit them to deepen our understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, basically, my intention here is to present to you that the Bible is true, that Christ is true. Since Christ is true, therefore, your faith is true. And so that is the whole message of today's preaching. I would like to give you a proposition that Jesus Christ, siyang tagapagligtas at Panginoon po natin, ay totoo. Siya ay totoo. I would like to divide the passage into three different scenes. First of all, Jesus exposed, that is in verse 1 to 13. And of course, sa susunod po, makikita po natin, in verse 15 to 16, or 14 to 15, Jesus explained, and in the last set of verses, and that is in verses 17 to 23, Jesus exhorted. Okay, so first of all, Jesus exposed the false religion. Second, Jesus explained legal redemption. And third, Jesus exhorted heart regeneration. Okay, madali lang hong tandaan, lahat po letter E. So, Jesus exposed, explained, and exhorted. So, that's the three sins that we are about to unpack through these passages. So, basahin po natin muna. Una is the verse, the first part, and that is in verse 1 to 13. Read with me Mark chapter 7, verse 1 to 13. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered to him after they came from Jerusalem and saw that some of his disciples were eating their bread with unholy hands, and that is unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the other Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thereby holding firmly to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they completely cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received as traditions to firmly hold, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and copper pots. Verse 5, and the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk in accordance with the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with unholy hands? But he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, well, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching us doctrines, the commandments of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and the one who speaks evil of father or mother is certainly to be put to death. But you say, if a person says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is kurban, and that is given to God, you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother, and thereby invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. Mark chapter 7, verse 1 to 13. And so you might ask, brethren, what happened? What happened? Ano ba nangyari po dito? There are a lot of series of events here. Okay? Jesus became popular. Jesus' healing became widespread. Jesus' teaching became so fascinating because he taught with authority other than the scribes. So, naging popular ang Panginoon. And so, why do you think would the nation's spiritual leaders would do? If there's a person who became so popular that the whole Galilee, even in the areas of what we call Sidon and Tyre, flocked Jesus, hearing his word, what do you think would the nation's spiritual leaders would do with this person? And so, they will inquire. They will investigate. And so the Pharisees and some of the scribes in our passage, they came to Galilee from Jerusalem. And you know that Jerusalem is the capital city. It is the center of religion. It is the spiritual or the educational center of Israel. They went to Galilee and see if they could subdue Christ and his teachings. Hindi po pipitsuging pong mga grupo itong pumunta na ito sa Galilea. They were considered the cream of the crops. They were the intelligent people of the Jewish leaders. They were the best of all best. They were the religious elites. And so, what was the reason why they came to Jesus? They came to Jesus because they wanted to accuse him and his followers of what we call defilement. Of what we call defilement. They came to Jesus and they accused him of defilement, a very serious charge. And again, you might ask, why do they need to accuse him of this? Because, brethren, listen to this, once they caught Jesus as unclean, all his morals and all his teachings will come to an end along with all his following. Babagsak yan. Pag napatunayan nila na si Kristo ay marumi, patunayan nila na may kulang, may problema si Jesus at maging ang kanyang mga disipulo, then all his teachings and all his morals, all the things that he is giving to the people, along with these people na talagang sumusunod sa kanya, will come to an end. And so they accuse him of, verse 2 it says, they saw that some of his disciples were eating their bread with unholy hands, and that is unwashed. That was the charge of these Pharisees. Jesus and his company were unclean. They were unwashed when eating, therefore defiled. According to what? According to their tradition, according to what they commonly held and accepted. I would like to give you a balance here, brethren. There is no problem with washing your hands before meals. Amen? There's no problem with that. We always teach our kids, okay, bago ka kumain, maghugas ka ng pinggan. Ay, kamay. Maghugas ka ng pinggan. Ah, kamay, sorry. Kasi gawain ko nung bata ko yun, maghugas ng pinggan. Maghugas ka ng kamay. And that is something we give to our children. Maari may maibasa nyo, that's your legacy. Yun ang naalala po nila sa inyo. Tatay ko, palagi niya sinasabi, maghugas ng kamay, yun lang naalala sa iyo. Okay lang yun, walang problema yun. And so, there's no problem with washing your hands before meals. But brethren, this is not about washing your hands. This is not about personal hygiene or table manners. You see, the problem here is this. The Pharisees were so concerned that their traditions, their rules and regulations, their prohibitions were not being met and practiced by the disciples of this particular rabbi. Yan ang problema po nila. Their traditions, the Pharisees' traditions, were not practiced by Jesus and his disciples. They think that Jesus, as a rabbi, as a teacher of the law, you supposedly practicing our oral traditions and you're supposed to be teaching them to your followers, and yet you were not. You were not teaching our traditions. Irabay ka eh. Teacher ka, di ba? And so that is the issue. There was this loose self-claimed teacher, rabbi, and the Pharisees went to Galilee from Jerusalem, the religious center, to scrutinize. They wanted to scrutinize. And see, brethren, the problem, or shall we say, the defeat of this allegation. No, ang problema sa allegation na ito, the problem with this accusation lies at the ground or at the basis of their moral substandard. Ang problema sa mga pariseyo po na ito ay ang kanila pong pinag-uugatan para ikundina si Kristo ay ang kanilang sariling tradisyon. Their moral substandard. They accuse Christ and his followers, sabi po ng passage natin, according to their tradition. In that passage, in our passage na binasa po natin, that word tradition was mentioned 9 times in this particular narrative. And when we say tradition, brethren, tradition means things that were passed down or handed over from another, yung pinapasa-pasa. Actually, Jesus explained it in Mark chapter 7, verse 13. In Mark chapter 7, verse 13, dun sa dulo, nun pong ating pong passage, sabi po nung verse 13, thus invalidating the word of God, by your tradition, and Jesus defined it as, which you have handed down. So Jesus himself gave the meaning of the word tradition, those who have been handed down from generations to generations. It could be instruction or legacy, customs or morals. But this is the issue, brethren. The danger of these traditions was that they came from men. The danger of these traditions, they came from men. Mark actually said them as tradition of the elders. These are customs and morals belonging from the elders. That's the meaning of that word of. It is a possessive. They came, their origin is from men. Literally means this tradition belonging from and beginning with the elders. And so Jesus, according to our passage, he called these traditions as commandments of men, verse 7. And so hear me this, brethren. The religious leader's criticism will not stand because they hold to a kind of moral standard which is of human origin. No, mangungutsa na nga lang sila, mali pa ang comparison. Gagawa sila ng accusation, mali pa ang grounding. Mali pa ang basihan. And so that will not hold. It will not hold because we know that these traditions were of human source, and because they of human source, they were subjective, paiba-iba. They were transient, lumilipas, depende sa kultura ngayon, and they were relative, depende yan sa take ko. Because they were of human source. And again, this is the balance. Okay? This is the balance. I would like to be maging balance po dito. There are traditions that teach and affirm common grace. Amen? Ano ibig ko po sabihin dito, mga kapatid? There are traditions na minanapo natin that upholds, that affirms, that teach common grace. When we say common grace, anumang kultura, nangyayari yung ito. For example, some expressions of respect. Tradition like magmano. Sino sa inyo dito hindi na nagmamano? Pakitas ng kamay. Nagmamano po ako, tinas ko lang kamay. That is a tradition that we wanted to value. Okay? Of course, that kind of expression depends on culture. Sa Bicol po, hindi ho ganun. Diba? Pag ganun ho sila. Ano? Naranasan po natin doon. When you go to Bicol, their pagmamano is tabi. Diba? There are traditions that fosters common grace, that affirm common grace. This is the balance, and this is something that we need to listen to. So long as these traditions are not commanded by God, okay, and do not conflict with the Word of God, not commanded, does not in conflict with the Word of God, these traditions are only prescriptions. They are only prescriptions and never to be prohibitions. Never to be standards. So, kung hindi tinuturo ng Biblia at hindi directly natatama sa mga prinsipyo ng salita ng Panginoon, these traditions are but optionals. Are options. They are but prescriptions. They are not supposed to be the standard or a yardstick of moral spirituality. Hindi mo gagamitin para sa ganun, masabing spiritual yan o hindi. If the church will not testify before baptism, do not think na mas magaling pa tayo kaysa sa kanila. Bakit? Sa church namin, we testify pa. Ba't sa inyo hindi? Yeah. Ingat. Ingat po. There are expressions of godliness that are not meant to measure true spirituality, most especially against others or against churches. There are but, sabi po natin, prescriptions. And going back to Mark chapter 7, verse 3 to 4, what was the tradition that the disciples neglect to fulfill? Go back in Mark chapter 7, verse 3 to 4. Well, the Pharisees had some certain ceremonies when it comes to washing their hands before they eat. Verse 3 to 4, it says that they have to carefully wash their hands so as not to be defiled by the Gentiles and things unclean. No, in things unclean. Even in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the Jews were commanded to make themselves clean by not putting or entangling themselves to unclean. For example, kapag ka ang mga kababaihan po ay mayroon po kayong buwan ng regla, you are considered unclean ceremonially. And for the Jews, kapag nasa palengke ka, at syempre, di mo naman alam, minsan, di ba, you bump into some women na alam po natin kapapanganak lang or maaring mayroon silang menstruation period, then you are considered ceremonially unclean. Or somehow, kapag ka gusto ko bumili ng potter or cup, at yung cup na yun ay ginamit po ng isa pong Gentile, at nagamit mo siya, nahawakan mo siya dahil gusto mong testingin kung talaga bang maganda o quality po siya, then you are considered ceremonially unclean. So there are some certain prohibitions in the Old Testament about being clean or unclean. And so these Pharisees, they are to carefully wash their hands even before they eat, because they believe that whatever comes into the mouth defile the person. So yan ang kanilang pananaw. So kailangan, bago sila kumain, they have to wash their hands. So it is not a matter of personal hygiene, it is a matter of fulfilling the Old Testament ritual. Okay? And so tradition, actually, no, when you look at the history of the Jewish people, no, there are certain rules and regulations that made up their tradition. Basically, in the book of Leviticus, no, the book of Leviticus, the desire of the Lord is to confront the people of Israel that they are a sinner, they are sinful people. The problem with the Jews, the problem with the Pharisees is this: they made up many rules and regulations, so much so that people are already confused with what the law demands over the rules and regulations the Pharisees made. Yan ang naging problema. Tingnan niyo po ito, no? Ang gusto ho ng Panginoon sa Leviticus ay ipakita sa mga Israel na ang Panginoon ay banal at ikaw ay makasalanan. Noong una, maganda ang intention po ng mga Pharisees. Actually, the time of Babylon, when they were in Babylon, they wanted to make themselves pure. They wanted to indeed maintain the purity and blamelessness because they don't wanted to be entangled with the Gentiles. They went to the extreme. Gusto ho nila na yung po mga prohibitions in the Old Testament, in the Leviticus, lagyan ho ng maraming hibla. Are you still with me? Gusto nilang lagyan ng maraming hibla. Ang problema, sa dami ho ng hibla, yung mga detalye ho ng gusto lang ng Panginoon sa Old Testament, sa dami-dami ng rules and regulations, yun ang pinapasa po nila sa mga tao. And in that, at the time of Christ, yung mga maraming rules and regulations, tinapat na doon sa mismong salita ng Panginoon. And so people wondered already, ano ba talaga sinasabi ng Biblia? Ano ba sinasabi ng Panginoon? They were confused already. And the Pharisees and these Jewish leaders already elevated their tradition rather than the Word of God. If you look at Jewish tradition, brethren, there are actually, no, they believe in what we call the Torah. That's the written law. No, ang mga Hudyo, they believe in what we call the written manuscript, and that is the Old Testament Bible. But they also believe in what we call the oral traditions. Okay, the oral traditions, these are, sabi po ng mga iba, these are rules and regulations given to the Israelites from God na hindi po naisulat. No, they believe in the two kinds of divine words of God. That yung pong salita ng Panginoon na nasusulat, yan sa Bible po natin. And they also believe in what we call the oral traditions. No. And the oral traditions, actually, because of in the time of the exile, nagkaroon po sila ng marami pong mga, kumbaga, gustong gawin because they wanted to preserve naman talaga in the first place. Maayos nung una. No, ang problema, when they were in Babylonian exile, they wanted to write the oral tradition. And they, when they wrote the oral tradition, they call it the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is the oral tradition written. Problem is this. No, there are interpretations of the oral traditions. And the oral traditions, we call them Gemara. No, at ang naging problema ay ganito. The oral traditions in Mishnah, interpreted in Gemara, iba-iba rin po ang translation. Iba-iba rin po, depende yan kung sinong rabbi po ang magsusulat. And somehow, with so many confusions, because of so many interpretations, again, sabi ko kanina, marami mga tao, marami mga Hudyo, hindi na nila alam. Medyo burdensome na. Sa dami ho ng interpretation. Sa dami ho ng kanila pong sinasabi. And to the Jewish mind, brethren, most especially in the Pharisees, the Talmud, which is basically the Mishnah and the Gemara, the interpretations of the oral tradition, and the oral tradition itself is completely equal with the written manuscript, which is the Bible. Naging pareho na, naging authoritative na yung oral tradition also with the manuscript or with the Old Testament Bible. And listen to this commentary, okay? Please bear with me po. Listen to this commentary, and I got this from the book Sketches of the Jewish Life, no, on the issue of this. Sabi nila, listen to me. The fraternity of the Pharisees were bound by these two vows, and that is tithing and with regards to purification. Okay? As the most varied questions would here arise in practice, which certainly were not answered in the law of Moses, the oral traditions, the traditions which were supposed to explain and supplement the divine law, became necessary. Okay? Yan ang nangyayari po sa panahon po ng Panginoong Jesus. Okay? The Pharisees were so devout with two things, and that is tithing, and remember that the publican and the tax collector? Still with me? Okay? And of course, the purification. So much so, they were devoted with purification. Buhay po nila, punong-puno po ng mga dapat iwasan, dapat gawin, ganitong ritual. Yan ang buhay ng isang pariseyo, purification. And sabi nila, with matters that are subjective or not clear with the divine law, and that is the written manuscript, tayo naniniwala na ang salita ng Panginoon ay yung written manuscript lang, walang oral tradition. Sabi ho nila is that the oral tradition will supplement, will explain what was subjective in the written manuscript. So ang nangyari sa isipan ng mga pariseyo na ito, mas mataas na ngayon yung interpretations ng mga rabbi, yung Mishnah at yung Gemara, which is the Talmud. That's why even today, many Jews will consider more valuable the Talmud than the Torah. Sa totoo lang. They will eventually look at the Talmud or the traditions more valuable than the law of God itself. Sabi nga po nitong libro na ito, in point of fact, the rabbis speak of them in that sense. And they considered it, these traditions, as hedge around Israel and its law. And so this tradition should have been traced up to the oral communications made to Moses in Mount Sinai. And one commentator says that the plague of the Pharisees, the problem with the Pharisees was a common expression. At sabi nga po, shall we stop to explain the opinions of the Pharisees? Pwede ba tumigil na lang lahat na interpretation ng Pariseo kasi nga sila nagkakaiba din. And so the people, in people's mind now is, they cannot identify now, saan ba talaga, ano ba ang purpose, ano ba intention ng salita ng Panginoon? Kasi sa dami-dami ng rules and regulations, saan na ba ako ngayon? They confuse already the people of God. And not only that, brethren, looking back in Mark chapter 7, verse 1 to 5, this Pharisees' problem also have its root with regards to how they think some spiritual value, no, against tradition. For example, no, look at verse 3 and 4 and 5. Look at your Bibles po, verse 3, 4, and 5. Yeah, ito ang problema po sa mga Jewish leaders na ito. Una, they think that God is pleased on their religious externals. Okay? They think that God is pleased with regards to their religious externals. The phrase firmly hold in verses 3 and 4 and 5, which means they walk according to tradition. They will rather hold that which belongs to man than what the very word of God demands. Now, these Pharisees thought that their moral achievement would influence God to bless them. Hindi ho ba ganin ho tayo dati? Konting ceremonies, konting magpakita ng ating spiritualidad, konting punta doon sa misa. We think that, oh Lord, you have to offset my sin already because I've done this. I went to different churches. No, I already prayed the repetitions. And so, Lord, please bless me now. They think that God is pleased when they, based on their religious externals. Sabi nga ng Panginoon, their worship of God is vain. Can you imagine that? Observe that, brethren. They're holding to the tradition. They thought that that is the worship of God. And Jesus said, those are vain. The word vain there, that's nothing. That's nothing. Second is this. These Pharisees think that righteousness is achieved by self-imposed rituals. They think they were righteous already because they were exalting themselves as holy and devout people because of their obedience to what tradition says to them. Because of their ceremonial cleansing, no, they wanted to ceremonially cleanse themselves outwardly. They think, wow, we are more holy than you, Jesus. Your disciples were unwashed. Kami, hindi ganyan. We were devout, more devout than you. Today, brethren, many people think that they were righteous, they were holy, they were committed members of the church because it shows to their t-shirt. It shows in their t-shirt. I'm a Christian. Hindi ho agad-agad. Some people will wave their handkerchief thinking that we were already hallowed by God, thinking that they are holy. We put some coats, good coats in our cars. And we think that our righteousness is based on those externals, those self-imposed rituals. And it is the problem, brethren, also with the Pharisees. The Pharisees think that their activity is the very standard of moral purity. Yan ang pinaka-problema. Yan ang problema po kapag yan ang tingin mo. Na yung tradisyon, yung ginagawang panlabas, yan ang dapat compared sa iba. Okay? Ano nangyari? Out of their spiritual blindness comes spiritual pride. They now began to compare themselves against others. And what did Jesus say to them? Go back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. What did Jesus say to these Pharisees? These religious people who accused him of defilement, of uncleanness, a very serious accusation. They wanted to catch Jesus. They wanted to, trick Jesus. What did Jesus say about these people? That these people based their spirituality based on the externals. Jesus said in verse 13, he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites. And as it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is away from me. Jesus said to them that these people were impostors. They were hypocrites. Okay? Are you getting this, brethren? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Observe what Jesus said here. He quoted Isaiah 29, verse 13. That passage is a prophetic judgment against these Jews. At kung ikaw isang Hudyo, kung isang Pariseo, thinking that your spirituality, your moral purity is based on the externals, thinking that you are okay with God because of some religious activities, here comes this rabbi telling you upfront that Isaiah was right. He's about to judge you, you hypocrite. Can you imagine how the reaction of these Jewish leaders? Can you imagine how paano sila tumugon? And open your Bibles po in Matthew 15, verse 12 to 14. And that is the parallel passage. No, pareho na kwento. And in Matthew, gave us the response of these Pharisees, no, by the disciples mentioning this. Sabi po ng Matthew chapter 15, verse 12 to 14. Matthew 15, verse 12. Then the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Do you know, Jesus, that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" You know, Jesus, they were offended by your response, by your statement when you quoted Isaiah 29 and even mentioning about the issue of defilement and uncleanness. Jesus called them hypocrites. Wow. And when we say hypocrites, it means double person. One who does not have integrity at all. When we say hypocrite or hypocrisy, it is a theatrical term used to refer to a person who acts separate from what is real and truthful. And so Jesus was saying, in effect, that these Jewish leaders were fake. You were fake. Can you imagine the bold statement of Christ when he uttered that to these people? Remember, these people were part of the Jewish leadership. If you put yourself in that place, in that situation, kung ikaw din isang Hudyo, ikaw na regular na Hudyo, at makita mo, yung ang mga Pariseo na ito na galing sa Jerusalem, these are people who have been, they were governing the whole land of Israel. They came to Galilee to scrutinize Christ, and then they said, bakit yung mga disipulo mo, they were not washing their hands before they're eating. They were not doing what our tradition tells us to do. And Jesus now, a rabbi, will say, you are a hypocrite person. Isaiah was right. God will judge you. Condemnation is at your face already, Pharisees. Kung ikaw ay isang regular na Hudyo, wow! Can you imagine po yung response po ng isang mga Hudyo na ito? These Jewish leaders were fake. Their traditions were fraud. And their motives were empty. And their actions were proud. And Jesus confronted and exposed their false religion. Mali yung inyong ginagawa. Mali. And that was a big message by Jesus Christ for them. That was a slap in the face, a divine rebuke. And not only that, in verse 8 to 13, look at verse 8 to 13. They were not just hypocrites, they were actually violators. Okay, sa mga, akala ninyo yung ginagawa nyo okay sa Panginoon, actually you are offending God. You are offending God. You are offending God. It says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And Jesus continues, you are experts. You are masters at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. You are good at removing the intention of God and putting forward your very motive, which is a very proud motive. And somehow, brethren, I would like to speak to you now. When it comes to your spirituality, are you holding to that kind of perspective? Thinking that attending the church will ultimately make you born again? Thinking that a little reading of the Bible will think you're okay with God? And somehow when you heard about a person who is struggling with his spiritual life or his spiritual journey, you will somehow compare yourself with, buti na lang, hindi ako katulad niya. Looking at the blessing of all this grace that God has provided for our church, and when we listen to a testimony of a small church, struggling church, do not think immediately that you are better than them. Evaluate our hearts, brethren. Do not think like the Pharisees. These Pharisees, they are hypocrites, they are violators. And Jesus made an illustration here in verse 10. He said, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' It is a direct command of God. One of the Ten Commandments is, 'Honor your father and your mother.' But you say, you Pharisees say, 'If a person says to his father or his mother, whatever I have done, whatever I would help you is korban.'" And that word korban is a very traditional, no? That korban is an ancient Hebrew term that means it is already consecrated with God. You see, there's a valid commitment. That is a valid commitment. That the problem with the Pharisees is this. They used a valid commitment, no, to put forward, to push their wrong intention. Ang problema, hindi po yung commitment mo na ibigay na sa Panginoon ito. Ang problema is the Pharisees wanted to hold the conscience, the actions of these people. Sabi nga po ng Panginoon, dyan sa may verse 11, "But you say, you pervert the word of God, you pervert the principles of giving to God to satisfy your interests." Para sa ganun, na mapunta lang yung gusto niyo, because at that time, Pharisees were known to be corrupt. And so they would like to tell the people, alam mo, binigay mo na sa Panginoon yan, ibigay mo na yan, because they wanted to what? To get this, the resources of the people. And so they twisted the word of God to their self-interest, to their end. They made up so many traditions and they usurped the authority of God's word to serve their own interest. That's the problem. Hindi mo na maibibigay yan sa magulang mo kasi nasa Panginoon yan eh. Hindi na pwede. Sabi ng Panginoon Jesus, "You usurp it. You are masters in twisting the word of God. And thereby, by doing that, you have invalidated the word of God by your own tradition." The problem is, they already increased the authority of their own tradition over the clear command of God. Over the clear command of God. And somehow, brethren, we might apply this principle. Klarong-klaro na sa Biblia, ayaw mo pang sundin, di ba? May mga times ganun tayo eh. We are spiritualizing the very command of God by putting some, you know, perspective to excuse us of our commitment na dapat gawin po na talagang direkta na sinasabi ng salita ng Panginoon. Oh, these Pharisees, they invalidated. The word invalidated, it means they put to nothing. They discredited the word of God by their own traditions. If you are Catholics, brethren, that is what they do actually. Marami po mga Katoliko, yan po. They have already set aside the word of God and they have already put forward, they elevated their traditions. Kaya ho, we believe that Catholics are not believers. Catholics ka man sa US, Catholic ka man sa dito sa Pilipinas, wherever you are, if you are a Catholic, you are not a believer. Because you do not subscribe to the sufficiency of the Scriptures. The Bible is sufficient. The Word of God is enough. And so these Pharisees took a legitimate commitment and used it in a legitimate and devious way to defraud the parents and to enrich themselves. Ayan ang problema po sa mga prosperity gospel preachers. They will convert a valid commitment to give to the Lord, but when they converted it, they made it the very main issue rather than the issue of spiritual regeneration. They focus on money or external things. Gagamitin po nila ito. No? Nadayain po nilang tao. Galing ito sa Panginoon. It is already kurban. Commitment mo na sa Panginoon yan. Ibigay mo na sa amin. That's a problem. That's tradition also. They usurp the authority of God. Let us pause here, brethren, first, because mahaba po ito pong point one po natin. And ayaw ko pong laktawan po ito na hindi po natin na-apply. Observe how Jesus confronted the Pharisees. Observe. He used the word of God. Okay? He used the word of God. When you are in a battle, brethren, let us win the battle through the lens of the scripture. Amen? When you are in a disagreement, you have to hold yourself grounded in the scriptures. You cannot win the battle without putting forward the word of God. Unless you stand firm in the word, you will not let the grip of the world. Hold the scriptures dear, and the world slowly grows pale. Amen. So if you want to win the battle against people over spiritual things, go back to the scriptures. Christ himself did that. He used Isaiah 29 to battle these self-righteous Pharisees. The same time also, let us beware of self-exalting comparison. Amen? Beware of self-exalting comparison. Let me remind you, brethren, that we are all depraved human beings. If it were not because of the grace and mercy of God, we will still be plunging on the water of great sinning. Okay? We are all sinners. And so to compare ourselves as better than others would be comparing pigs from boars, crocodiles from alligators, same nature, same essence. Brethren, we could only compare ourselves before God. We could only compare ourselves before God. And if we do that, we compare ourselves before God, and then that glory we'll call mercy. When we behold the glory of God and we realize that we are utterly sinful, we will plead for mercy, brethren, not pride. That's how one of the stories of a tax collector and a Pharisee. The Pharisee compared himself with other people, but the tax collector compared himself with God. And what is the result? Who is justified? The tax collector, the publican. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. And so, brethren, when you compare yourselves, you forgot that you are a sinner. And that because of his mercy and only because of his grace, you've been given that blessing to become a child of God. Nakalimutan mo yun, kaibigan. And so the moment you compare yourself, that is also the onset of pride. The antidote, go back to the glory of God. Go back to the glory of God. And lastly, separate when truth is not united. Amen? Separate when truth is united. Somehow, maaaring hindi po natin ma-apply po ito, but there were times when evangelicals and Catholics live together. There's a well-known document that published 1994. They call it Evangelicals and Catholics Together. I don't know if you're familiar with that. And the purpose of that document was to deliver a common witness to the modern world at the eve of third millennium. The purpose of this is to encourage a spiritual ecumenism and a day-to-day ecumenical movement among Christians and Catholics. But brethren, it could not be. We are not the same as the Catholics. We are not the same as the Catholics. They need the unadulterated gospel of Christ. Amen? They need your ministry. They need the preaching of the gospel. And so that's the first point. So Jesus exposed the false religion. And the false religion is this. It is proud. It is temporal. It is man-made. Okay, it is man-made. Second, it is in verse 14 to 15. And that is Jesus rebuked human traditions, or shall we say, Jesus explained legal redemption. Okay, open your Bibles again, Mark chapter 7, 14 to 15. After this, he called the crowd to him again, and he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside the person which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which come out of the person are what defile the person." Brethren, this, I believe, is an important announcement that Jesus gave to the people. And so imagine also, brethren, the tension, okay, again, picture this incident. Imagine the tension between the self-righteous Pharisees and Jesus. Okay, Jesus was saying to the people, listen to this, Jesus was saying to the people that they should listen not to the Pharisees, but to him. Okay, Jesus was saying to the people, you should hear me than the man-made traditions of the Pharisees. That phrase, "listen to me," is a very crucial statement in this situation, in this incident. O parang sinasabi ni Jesus na ganito, no? Yung mga minana na mga Pariseo na ito, yung mga pinaniniwalaan nila ng mga rules and regulations na ito, na akala nila yun ang paraan para maging mabuti sa Panginoon. Sabi ni Kristo, baliwala lahat yan. Listen to me. So ano sinasabi ni Kristo dito? Jesus was equaling himself with the source of truth. Jesus was saying to these Pharisees and to the Jews at that time that I am the source and here is what you should realize. And so, brethren, by doing that, by that statement, given the context of this incident, affirms the divinity of Christ. It affirms that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. He is indeed the divine Son of God. You know, brethren, the prophets of old, in the Old Testament, again, listen to this, the Old Testament will always say they will not dare to proclaim the truth without the mentioning of the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." Amen? Are you still with me? The Old Testament, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they will not dare to claim by not mentioning, "Thus says the Lord." They will always say, "Thus says the Lord." Because they have to quote the source. And Jesus does not have to quote the source because he is the source. Hindi niya sinabing, "Thus says the Lord." Sabi niya, "Listen to me." And again, that affirms the motto or the theme of this gospel, that this is the Word of Christ, the Son of God. Furthermore, brethren, imagine also the implication of what Christ has declared on the minds of these people. Okay, go back in verse 13. Okay, verse 14 and 15. Sabi niya, there is nothing outside the people which can defile him if it goes into him. Okay? Sabi ni Kristo ganito, coming from outside into you, into the inner part of man, into your body, it won't defile you. It won't defile you. Okay? Sa atin ngayon, parang, ano ngayon? Okay? Put yourself in the minds of a Jewish person noon. If you are a Jewish person, ilagay mo yung sarili po noon. 400 years before Christ, the Maccabees and many hundreds of Jews were killed because they refused to participate in the desecration of the temple by sacrificing pigs. They shunned the eating of pork. Okay? See with me? Are you getting this? Ulitin ko po. 400 years before, yung isang page sa Bible ninyo, maraming nangyari dyan. Maraming namatay na mga Hudyo because they believe that outside of them, especially eating the pork, desecration the temple by sacrificing the pigs, will defile them. And here comes a rabbi. Here comes Jesus saying, hindi. Can you imagine in the minds of these people? Mauhulog ka sa pagkaupo mo pag narinig mo yon, because Jesus was now claiming, literally, that you don't need to live a kind of culture that based on tradition. You don't need to measure your spirituality by something outside of you. Pag ikaw isang Hudyo, ibig sabihin yan, Jesus, lahat ng mga namatay, mga heroes of faith namin, mali yung pinaglaban nila. Wow. Can you imagine po yung scandal na ito? That's why Jesus was a scandalous person. Because he shake the minds and cultures of these people. Of course, mamaya, ililibate po natin. Kasi hindi lang po siya revolusyonaryo. Ha? Hindi lang po. Again, brethren, this is mind-boggling. That's why this is the importance of going to the context. Going back to the history. Because somehow, pag binasa mo yan, okay. But to the minds of the Jews, are you saying that all of those things were nothing? And Jesus said, yes. Those who think that religion, going to God, is based on your external cleansing, those are nothing before God. Listen to me, Jesus said. And so what did Jesus say again? Verse 15, go back. There is nothing outside the person which can defile him. Nothing outside that goes to a person's mouth will make him unclean. Okay? Jesus was giving a type. Jesus was giving an illustration here. It was a biological, it is a natural state. If a person eats, then after the body gets all the nutrients, the excesses will go to what? To the 101. We will just excrete it. And here is this, brethren, external obedience will not presume a clean heart. External obedience will not assume that you have a clean heart. Ceremonial cleansing without repentance from the heart is empty religion. You cannot be defiled with something that outside of you. And again, the book of Leviticus tells us, that yes, there are things that in the Jewish context, there are things that you need to shun away from. And what is the purpose? To tell to the world that you are a holy people. But the problem, you are an unholy person, an unholy people. The problem, brethren, is not with the flaw in the law of God. Jesus said that the problem is in the inside. The problem of man is not outside of him. The problem of man is in the inside. And going back again in verse 15, listen to this, in verse 15, that phrase, things which come out of the person are what defile the person. In the original Greek, it means that those coming out of the person's heart is what keeps on defiling the person. So parang sinasabi niya na, yung puso natin ay defiled, marumi, at yung lumalabas doon ay patuloy na nagpapakita na ikaw ay marumi. In another words, ganito pong sinasabi po dyan. Your heart is already defiled. And what comes out of your heart are but expressions of what is now already happening in that heart. It is already unclean. It is not on the externals, but something inside of you. And Jesus said, again, Jesus said in verse 15, it doesn't matter outside. What matters now is what is happening inside. You don't need to keep spiritual things based on the externals. And Jesus declared this, brethren, listen to me. Jesus declared this to stop the pursuit of righteousness and redemption based on the works of men. Did you get it? So Jesus stated, verse 15, to affirm that you don't need to pursue righteousness based on your works. The Pharisees, they continually do ceremonially cleansing, thinking they will drawn to Christ or they will drawn to God. But Jesus said, hindi na yun. Wala na yun. Listen to me. Ang problema, yung puso mo. Stop pursuing righteousness based on your works. Amen. And so the remedy actually was in John 6. Again, why do I need to quote John 6? Because John 6 is magkakatuloy-tuloy po na kwento po yan. Remember, there's the feeding of the 5,000 men. Diba? Are you still with me? Lapit na po tayo. Feeding of the 5,000 men. After that, nagturo si Kristo ng John 6. After that, Matthew 7. So magkakatuloy yan. Sinabi na ng Panginoon ang solusyon. At ang solusyon, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 16, please. Mark chapter 7, verse 16. In Mark chapter 7, verse 16, there is no verse 16, Pastor! Ayan. Okay? If you are using New American Standard Bible, there is no verse 16. Amen? How come? Mark chapter 7, verse 15, and then Mark chapter 7, verse 17 agad? Bakit 16? But wala? Ano nangyari sa Bible ko? Okay? There's the addition somehow, okay? There's the addition of that phrase, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? That's a what we call a scribal addition. And I would like to guarantee, brethren, that addition does not affect the intention of the story. Hindi po maapektuhan yan. And you might ask, bakit kailangan ilagay ng mga kumukopya yung verse 16? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That phrase, brethren, that phrase signifies the utter importance of the situation. Okay? Ang mga eskriba, yung mga nagsusulat, kailangan talagang malaman ito ng lahat. Importante itong sinasabi ni Kristo. And so, may mga iba, they added that phrase. That phrase was not in the original manuscript. Amen? It was added to emphasize that pursuing righteousness based on your works is nothing. That is the central message of this particular story. Okay? Kaya nilagay niya. Ang sinasabi ng mga eskriba dito, mahalaga ito na pakinggan ng lahat ng tao, hindi lang ng mga Hudyo. Ganito ka-importante ito. O parang sa ating po mga magulang, di ba? Pakinggan mo mabuti ito, ah. Pakinggan mo ito mabuti, ah. Parang ganun. It's somehow, that's the scribal emphasis. No? Gusto ho ipakita ng mga nagkopya ho ng salita ng Panginoon na ang incident na ito ay mahalaga sa buhay ng isang taong nagnanais na maging Kristiyano. And somehow, dito pa lang po mga kapatid, yung lahat ng mga reliyon matitibag na ho talaga eh. Dito pinapakita na importante ito. The inscription was inserted to affirm that statement like this of Jesus must not be neglected. Amen? This statement of Christ must not be forgotten. Because many people think of Jesus as a revolutionary leader because he went against the ruling individuals at that time. No! Actually, brethren, that statement, that phrase, gives us the message that Jesus is the answer to the greatest need of man. Jesus was not a tribal leader. He was not a pioneer of small band of men in a little country called Israel. He is the very bread of life. He who believes in him will not perish. He is the sovereign king who will both judge all peoples, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. Jesus Christ, your Lord, is not a sectional Lord. He is the ruling king of all. And so, you must listen, you must take heed. That is the message of that phrase. Those who have ears, you must listen. Kaya ho dinagdag po dyan. So Jesus exposed, Jesus explained what the law could not fulfill, Jesus fulfilled. The legal redemption is that you have to take me. I am the fulfillment of the law. Ang sasabihin ng batas, may madumi ang puso mo. Ang sasabihin ng batas, ituturo niya kung sino si Kristo. And so he explained that wala na sa labas ang magbibigay ng katuwiran sa iyo. Walang iba kundi ako. Jesus explained. And lastly, brethren, Jesus taught heart regeneration. Jesus exhorted heart regeneration. Verse 17 to 23. And when he later entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding as well? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the person from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into the heart, but into the stomach, and it is eliminated. Thereby, he declared all foods clean." And he was saying that which comes out of the person, that is what defiles the person. From within, out of the hearts of people, come the evil thoughts, acts of sexual immorality, thefts, murders, acts of adultery, deeds of greed, wickedness, deceit, indecent behavior, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within that defile the person and defile the person. So, brethren, the problem is your heart. You cannot excuse yourself. Siya kasi. You cannot make the standard of holiness based on your outside performance like the Pharisees. And you need to write diagnosis of your heart so that solution will only come from God in Christ. Mga kapatid, kailangan po na ang tunay po na problema makita mo ay walang iba kundi ang makasalanan mong puso. And Jesus stated that truth. The problem is not with what you do. The problem actually is what's inside. The problem is the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is more deceitful than all else. Who can understand it? Only God." That's why God solved the problem. God gave Christ. James chapter 1, verse 14, "What is the source of all the conflicts? The problem is this, because you are carried away and enticed by your own lust." Lusting is a matter of the heart. And Jesus lists many sins here. You don't need to take one by one, but sabi niya, evil thoughts, masasamang isipan, acts of sexual immorality, pagnanakaw, pagpatay, pangalunya, lahat ng kasalanan na na-mention diyan, that is the condition of the heart of men. That is the condition of your heart, kapatid, kung wala si Kristo. Yan ang condition ng puso mo, kaibigan, kung wala ka kay Kristo. And so the question now is, who can save us from this sin? Who can save us from this situation? Answer, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, "He saved us not on the basis of outward deeds, which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with His mercy, by the washing of what? By regeneration." Solution is regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, "You must be born again." You must be born again. Ezekiel chapter 36, "I will give you a new heart." And Paul said, "For neither outward things will play for your salvation." It is neither circumcision or uncircumcision, something that outside of you, Hindi na yun ang magmamatter pagdating sa kaligtasan, but sabi ni Pablo, Galatians chapter 6 verse 15, but a new creation. And that indeed is the message the Pharisees missed. They missed that the problem is their heart. Brethren, Jesus indeed is God. He proved that He is the Son of God. And He came not just to give us eternal life, but He came to create in us a new creation. A heart that could respond, a heart that could behold that He indeed is our God. Jesus exhorted us and all the peoples of the world that the solution is not about religion. The solution is not your performance. The solution is about God in Christ. Amen. Amen po. And so, religion or regeneration? Let us pray. Tradition or transformation? Lord, salamat po sa umaga po na ito. We wonder, Lord God, why this message, Lord God, is so important to us. It's because we live in a world full of proud people. Because we live in a world where they base their spirituality on the things that they could do, they can contribute, Lord God. And as believers, Lord God, we need to be reminded that it's only because of your grace, it is only because of what Christ has done for us that we are saved. Lord, we uphold the sufficiency of your scriptures. Lord, we believe in the uniqueness of Christ in salvation. And those things, Lord God, the world needs. And so as a church, Lord God, please equip us with this understanding. Prepare us, Lord God, with this perspective. So that at that point in time that you will allow us to encounter with people who are proud with their religion, with their self-righteousness, we are able and we are bold, Lord God, to testify that the gospel, that salvation is only by Christ and in Christ. Oh Lord, salamat po. And as a church, Lord God, we continually pray, we ask, Lord God, for humility. Spare us, Lord God, from comparing other churches. Spare us, Lord God, from comparing ourselves from other Christians, from other believers. Remind us always, Lord God, that we are also but sinners, capable, Lord God, of giving you sorrow. Continually, Lord God, putting into your heart sorrow and sadness because of our sin. Help us, Lord God, to continually strive for holiness. Holiness, Lord God, that depends on your grace, that depends on your mercy. Remove from our perspective that because we are practicing spiritual disciplines, Lord, we are already okay with you. And we think, Lord God, that we can gauge our spirituality based on our performances. Yes, important the spiritual disciplines are. They are your means for us to grow spiritually. But we cannot make them, Lord God, as the source of our pride. But we can only attribute, Lord God, the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us. I pray, Lord God, that this church, our brethren here in Baguio, and all the outreaches, Lord God, will continue, Lord God, to uphold your word. We'll continue, Lord God, to divide ourselves from what is offensive to you, Lord God. We need to battle, Lord God, those who are fake, Lord God, who are teaching false doctrine, but at the same time, gracious, Lord God, to share the gospel to them. Salamat po, and thank you, Lord God, for this word. And as we go forth from this place, Lord God, we pray that your blessing will rest upon us. And as we give of our tithes and offering, we thank you, Lord God, for your provision. We thank you, Lord God, for how you are providing for our church. Do provide, Lord God, for our families as well. Even, Lord God, as we share, Lord God, a little bit of this message, and even as we pray for one another, we pray, Lord God, that you guide us and make this, Lord God, as a means of fellowshipping, a means of admonishing one another for your honor and for our good. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.